You know, there's nothing like, as a parent, for those of us with children, when we see our kids, welcome back, bro. When we see our kids getting along, what does that make us feel like? Well, I mean, it's like when I see Ryan and Alyssa and my daughter, Priscilla, getting along, it's like, yes, right? And I think, I know for a fact, God loves it when we love each other. Genuine love. And I seriously want to thank each of you for helping create an atmosphere of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. You know, we are a place, our goal here is to live in an atmosphere of love, because when you think about the kingdom, God loves us, right? Unconditionally. He accepts us where we at. You know, God is not like Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel forced himself on people. God's not like Satan. God is a gentleman. He'll never force you. He gives you the will to choose, right? Life or choose death. So acceptance, forgiveness, and of course, we forgive each other. Some people don't like to open up, because once they open up, they realize, people might hurt me. But we open anyway, right? Jesus came from heaven down here. What did we do? Rejected him. You know, this is something that has been going in my mind. If I think rejection, I've dealt with rejection, I don't think anybody else but Christ has dealt with rejection like we have dealt with rejection. Still today. I've said it here. What has Jesus done to the world for them to hate him so much? Think about it. They hated Christ. And if any of you will identify with Christ, you know what's going to happen to you? The world will hate you. I'm talking about identify with the cross. Of course, a couple weeks ago, I started talking about the story about Noah. I was thinking about this again this week. Noah preached the gospel for 100 years. No one believed. Let me ask you this question. What have you done to the sermon with the sermon you've heard already? What have you done with the message God sent you already? Think about that. What have I done with, for example, last week, a brother from China, they were talking about how God's working their season, tough season for them, but yet they see the good in it for them to be going back to Thailand as missionaries. But there is something, I said it over worship, only a desperate person change. What have you done with all the sermon, all the messages the Lord has sent you already? What have you done? Are you applying them? Are you living by them? Oh, today, you know, it's another day, and we're here at church. And are you ready for pastor to sing? I was singing, of course. You ready for another sermon? What have you done with the sermon I preached last week? Is that sermon, did it bring change? Did you use what Brother Vic taught? Robert, when he taught on the Holy Spirit? Felix? What are you going to do with the sermon today? Will you take it to heart? Thank you. Share. Live by it. Obey it. Because what the word says in James, it says, The benefit does not come in hearing. Because we can hear from now till Jesus return. If we're not obeying, we're wasting our time. Fruit will come. The world will see the difference. I was talking to somebody last week actually. I told him, I said, now you understand that a stream, when you open your faucet at home, when you taste the water, it's not salty. You go for salty water in the ocean, right? A stream does not give clean water and dirty water at the same time. Now think about this. Think about this. Would my heathen or unbelieving friends come to church? Sometimes you have to pull them. But most of the time they won't come. It actually grieves my heart when I see Christians partake in wild parties because of the name, because of love. Let me give you an example. So you have a friend who is not following the Lord and they're having a Halloween party or a pool party where everybody's drinking. Everybody's having good old fleshly time. But then you know what? I got to go to win them. I'm telling you, we have to be set apart. You have to live a life set apart. There is no between the line. You either in the light or you not. You either get rid of your sin, confess them, repent, make things right with the Lord. Or living with the devil. And you don't want that. Worship. I also talked about worship. You know, we said worship is not singing. Worship is living a life in total surrender to Christ. And once again, here's the question. Are you surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus? What does it mean to live in total surrender to Christ? You know, we all know the sign yield, right? Yield. When you enter the freeway, you better yield, right? Some people don't yield. Are you yielding to Christ? And let me tell you this, when you yield to Christ, it brings you in fellowship. Everybody repeat, fellowship. And that's what we're going to do today. When you yield to Christ, when you surrender to Jesus, that automatically puts you in fellowship with Jesus. Now let's go and read this story in Genesis chapter 5. Open your Bibles. I have, of course, the New Living Translation. Genesis chapter 5. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the Bible. And we submit under the authority of your word this morning. Use it, Lord, as it says in 2 Timothy. Use it to teach us, to correct us, and equip us. In the name of Jesus. Now, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 says, when Jared was 162 years old, he became the father of Enoch. After the birth of Enoch, Jared lived another 800 years. Now, can you imagine? 800 years. Whew. They had special grace. So he had his first kid when he was 65. And he had other sons and daughters. Jared lived to be 962 years. Then he died. I mean, if you go and read chapter 1, you hear the story of God created the earth. Created man in his likeness. And then, verse 22, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived close, underline this in your Bible, in close fellowship. I think other version would say, Enoch walked. walked with God. Here's a question for you today. Are you walking with God? Is He walking with you? More than ever, you must be walking with God. You cannot pretend having fellowship with God and being in fellowship with the world. It doesn't work. Or let me simplify. Having fellowship with bitterness. Because you know, some of us, we have close fellowship with bitterness. Backstabbing. Some of us, we like to talk about people. You cannot be walking in fellowship with God and like to talk about people. You always talk about people. Didn't you see their hats? Didn't you see this person? You know, pastor still had the same shirt on. Now, let me tell you a story. Now, remember, I'm in verse 22, okay? I'm in verse 22. Let me tell you a story. I remember back in 2012, I was on a mission field in Haiti. People talk. And I know sometimes, I don't know if it's here, if it's like that here, but in Haiti, if I wear the same pants, some people, they just observe it. You know, some other people, they don't care. They see your face, they don't notice the clothes you wear. But other people like me, they notice, I notice. If you're going to wear the same clothes, I'm going to see it next week. I'll remember it. But what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Actually, this is one of my favorite summer shirts. I'm actually planning to keep wearing it during the summer because I like it. So I was in Haiti, people just talking about others. So I came to the state and I bought me 8 blue t-shirt. 8 little blue t-shirt. You know, it's hot there, so I'm always wearing blue t-shirt. Now that means I have a blue t-shirt for every day. Monday, Tuesday, repeat. Guys, and I, as a matter of fact, I have pictures during that year. I'm always in the blue shirt. But nobody else knew it, but, you know, Kendra and I. Before you know it, people start talking about the blue shirt. You cannot be walking in close fellowship with the Lord and yet want to bring another brother and sister down. It's impossible. You cannot be walking in close fellowship with the Lord and yet be so rude to others. I'm talking about mean, being rude. We do have days when it's not your day, right? Anybody else those days? You wake up. Now my wife tells me, she's like, are you grumpy today? I said, yes, I'm grumpy. We do have those days. I'm not ignoring those days. Especially as you go through menopause for you ladies, premenopause for us men, midlife crisis, all those things. You know, job, work, people, church. You know, people let you down. People do let you down. And then you're having a bad day. But then I realize the more I read the Bible, I'm like, wow, I cannot want to be walking so close to the Lord in fellowship with Jesus and be so mean to my son. Doesn't work. I cannot pretend that I'm walking in close fellowship with Jesus and be sitting in a party, wild party, where people are cursing the name of the Lord. I shouldn't be comfortable. I shouldn't be. I'm gonna feel with compassion for those people. I'm not gonna judge them. I'm not gonna, like, look down on them. But because of the nature. Now, keep your hands in that verse. Let's go to 1 John. I forgot to give you that one. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're talking about walking in close fellowship, because you're going to see what happened to Enoch. Because he walked so close for 300 years in close fellowship with God, God's like, come on, man, just one day, just walk home. Just walk home. Enoch is the only guy in the world that didn't see death. Of course, Jesus died for our sins. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, see how much our Father loves us, that he calls us his children. And that's what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know God. Verse 2. Now, hang on. You know this verse, what it means? My spirit bear witness to your spirit. Just like the spirit of God bear witness to my spirit, I'm born again. I mean, if you live in the darkness, you know it. If you're fooling yourself, you know it. Have you ever met somebody that you haven't talked to them, but your spirit bear witness that they are kingdom? Yeah, all the time. At the same time, you meet somebody, they might be nice, they might be smiling at you, but your spirit bear witness to yours. Their spirit bear witness to yours, they're not in the light. Same thing. That's what it says here. People in the world will not recognize you, first of all, because they do not recognize the spirit of God. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we know that we will be like him. Hallelujah. For we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves. Help me out. Come on. Read it. Ah, what expectation? What expectation? What expectation? The first part of the verse. We do have an expectation, but what's the expectation? That we would see Christ and will totally become like him. And it says everyone with that eager expectation will keep themselves. Notice, it's not the Holy Spirit that's gonna plunk you out. The Bible says get out of them. Live a holy life. Live a life set apart. That's why you should never be ashamed of being radical for Jesus. Man, I love Jesus, and I'm going to be on your face. I love Jesus. Everything about me is about Christ. Because I'm lost without him. I'd be a terrible person without Jesus. Anybody else? I'd be a cheater, a thief, a dishonest person. You know? I'd be mean, really mean. You know? Did you say I would be loud? Yeah, that's right. Let's keep reading. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure. So there's a charge for you to keep yourself pure. Get out of them. Keep yourself. What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you following? You keep yourself pure because God is a holy God. So therefore, you must be holy in all your conduct. All. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Christ Jesus came to take away our sin. And there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him. Now, you need to sit on this. That's why you need to grab a hold of this. That's why the Bible calls you saint. It says, everyone who remain, abide. That's what it means here. Continue. Everyone who remain in him, continue to live in him. What will happen to them? Help me out. They will. Why? But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, as even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. For the Son of God, once again says it, came to destroy the work of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life, this is the reason. When I walk in close fellowship with God, I pray this all the time. I said, Lord, make me allergic. You remember COVID? I said this already here. A lot of people, we were afraid of COVID. Some of us, we wear face masks, head masks. You know, we wear all kinds of masks. That was your problem, your deal. But you know what? Some of us, we even stay 10 feet from it, from people, because COVID, don't get me wrong, COVID was terrible. It was a bad virus. So we were aware of COVID. Now think about how more sin is when it comes to us being detached from God. We do not negotiate. I told you, Noah preached for 100 years. Nobody repented. And I pray today that as you hear the voice of the Lord, you hear the word of the Lord, you make your life right with him. And you might think, well, I knew Christ since I was 13. I've been in the church since I was 15. I still need Jesus. The closer, the deeper I go with Jesus, the more I'm more like, man, Ricardo, you're such a wretch. You're so in need of him. The closer I walk to Jesus, the more I realize my need for him. The more I'm like, man, Lord, please, Jesus. We will never arrive until we see him face to face. And that's what I'm talking about here. It says it's impossible to be in close relationship, in close fellowship with God, and yet living in darkness. It's impossible. You cannot even tolerate the deeds of darkness. Even in movies you watch, it's totally impossible to be watching something that's based on infidelity. What else? The world stuff, you know? You know, I hear people sit, they watch soap opera where the dad takes the wife of the son sleeping with the mother. I mean, how is that even possible? How is that even possible? Man, I can't wait for next episode. Really? Now, you might stumble on something like that you didn't know, but the moment you realize what's going on, man, the Christ nature in you is going to be like, man, this is wrong. This is immoral. This has nothing to do with righteousness. And I believe what happened with Noah, if we go back to Genesis, what happened to Enoch, you know, go back to Genesis, I want you to see this, what happened to Enoch. Verse 25, you remember I said, remain in verse 22. It says, after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. Now, when you study church history, even for the season, and you go down to chapter 6, you realize Enoch had a revelation. Enoch was able to discern his season. Enoch saw that people was wicked. What it says, people was wicked. They were choosing evil over righteousness. So Enoch made a decision. I'm going to walk in close fellowship with God. And that's my prayer for us today. It's been my prayer this week that as a congregation, for us, as God's people here, that we would devote ourselves to walk in close fellowship with God. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing that will matter. You know, when you walk in close fellowship with God, I'll say it again, you will not be comfortable in your sin. You can't. You can't. You know, we do communion here first Sunday of the month. And I notice some of you don't take communion. Why? So we take communion and you're not taking communion? Why? Think about it. Why aren't you partaking in the Lord's Supper? What's the problem? And I know, I've been there. You probably felt unworthy. You probably felt, I better not. You know, you got that little voice, your conscience, saying, hey, you know, Ricardo, you better. This is sacred. You're not there yet. Repent. Stop sinning. Whatever the problem is, repent of it. Whatever the weakness is, bring it to the cross. There is no time. People die easy. Tonight is not promised. You know, I met a guy at the beach yesterday, took a little ride to the beach to swim in the ocean. That was nice. So I met a guy, he was riding my bike out there. So he's a bike, that's kind of a point of interest. People like to talk about the bike, their dogs. It's good. And then that also opened the door for me to preach the gospel, you know. So then him and I, we were talking, man, the guy was telling me a story. Actually, this morning I woke up and I pray for that family. So here's this family. They love bikes. Couple just got married. On their way to their honeymoon, the bride and groom decided they're going to ride in the back of their friend's bike. You know, young kids enjoying life. Unfortunately, you can assume the rest of the story. On their wedding day, the worst happened. Grieve my heart. This afternoon is not promised. I'm young, man. I want to live till I'm 95, maybe. That's all we all think, right? No. Tomorrow is not promised. Some of us do want to live till we're 120. No. By 65, our ears start giving up. By 45, you know, our knees start giving up. Let me tell you this again. Tomorrow is not promised. So if you're going to live for Christ, if you're going to live in close fellowship with Jesus, you do it now. Start right now. Sell out. Sold out. Giving it all to Him. Make a choice. Who will you serve today? Will I serve God wholeheartedly? Or will I just be, you know, riding the line? It's impossible to be in close fellowship with God and enjoy the pleasure of this world. I mean, I love music. I'm a musician born. God gifted me with the gift of music. But do you know, I can't go to every concert. I cannot listen to all kinds of music. As a matter of fact, depend on who did the music. Do you know some people sell their soul to the devil to write music? I don't know if you ever look into those things. Do you know there are people who are singing circular song on the radio? They have made a pact with the devil. Actually, they are anointed. You know those songs when you listen to them and then you feel something? It's the devil's anointing. You know Satan is also anointed. If you didn't know that, be careful. Sometimes you listen to a music, you listen to a song, you feel a presence. It's not the presence of God if the song is not glorifying God. It's not the presence of God if the song is not glorifying God. That's not religion. This is reality I'm talking about. Walking in close fellowship with God. And then, of course, you know the rest of the story, and I encourage you to go read it. And then a couple weeks ago, I read chapter 6, where God says, I am done with men. I will not put up with them because they are wicked. So he called Noah. He says, I observe how wicked people are on the earth. And then he says, I see everything they do, everything they thought and imagined was consistently and totally evil. Verse 6 in chapter 6 says, so the Lord said, I was sorry. He says, my heart broke. His heart was broken because he made man. So therefore he told Noah, he says, I repented. I'm sorry I even made them. And then he told Noah to go and build this boat. And then I spoke about how they said Noah was the only man on earth who was blameless, righteous. And then once again, it says Noah walked in close fellowship with God. Now, walking in close fellowship with God means you walk by faith, not by sight. You walk by faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Every day I pray, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. You know, the future is not sure, but you trust your future to the maker of the future. Won't you do that? Trust. I trust my tomorrow to who makes tomorrow. Who does tomorrow? Who has tomorrow in his hand? Jesus! Come on, somebody. His name is Jesus. So I trust him with my tomorrow. And I love this. I wrote this from Purgeon last night. It says, if I wish to find a man's most familiar friend, it would surely be the one he walks with daily. Or if I want to know who you are, I'll check your friend group. I'll check your friend's group. Who do you hang out with? I asked you earlier, do you walk with God? Is your friend group heathen? Are they God haters? Or are they on fire for Jesus? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be friends with people who are unbelievers. Never. You should be their friend. You should have friends like that. But how deep can you go with them? Think about it. You always hang out at their parties. I invite them to a family feast. Let me watch you. Bring them. Invite them to a cell group. To a home group. They won't come. Why? Because they know their place. You know, we've got the CEOs, right? The Christmas and Easter Christian only. I try not to preach those, say that on Easter. But you know those people? Christmas and Easter CEOs, only Christians, CEOs. People who comes to church on Christmas Eve, and because they think, well, the year is going to change, they got to do their prayer. And then you got Easter, where their mom asked them to come to church. Now, because they do that, what does that do to them? Well, praise God. We hope during those days, when they come, we pray that God would use the preacher and the Holy Spirit to bring them to their senses. Walking with God is also walking in the light. Now listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 1. Walking in close fellowship with God is walking in the light. And I tell you, 1 John, I encourage you, read that book over and over. This is one of the best books in the New Testament. John walks very close with God, with Jesus. Listen to what it says. 1 John chapter 1. From the NLT. It says, I proclaim this to you, the one who exists from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. And we saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the world's life. This is this one whose life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have, underline, what? Fellowship with God. With us. Now listen to this. When you walk in close fellowship with God, you will want to walk in close fellowship with other believers. When you stop wanting to walk in close fellowship with other Christians, this is the trap of the enemy. So for example, people would think, I've heard it. People say, well, I need to remove myself so I can find the truth. Really? When the enemy wants to take you, eat you, kill you, destroy you, the first thing he plants in your mind, don't show up. You don't need them. They don't need you. They hate you. When you walk in close fellowship with Jesus, guess what's going to happen? You're going to want to be part of a church. The closer you walk with Jesus, the more you love the body of Christ. I love the church. I love coming to church. Not because I'm the pastor. Believe me, sometimes I don't want to come. But I still come. That's right. Probably most of you. Amen. The closer you walk in fellowship with God, the more fellowship you will want with other believers. So be careful. When the enemy is planting the seed, oh, you can do church online. Oh, I can do, I'm a rock, I'm an island, I can do, it's me and God. Really? Repent. That's the plan of the enemy. He's gonna kill you. That's a trap. If that seed is planted in your mind, cast it away. Repent. Repent from it. Plugged in. That's what it says here. John is talking about, he's like, well, because Jesus is light, you know, and I say to you, we proclaim to you ourselves what we actually seen. So when you see it, you have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son, and Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. And I tell you, try it. When you by yourself, the spirit of despair, anxiety, depression comes. When, you know, when you with other, I mean, I'm talking about, you don't have to be an extrovert, you know? There's no such a thing. I mean, there is such a thing. There are extrovert and introvert. But it's like, you will want to be in fellowship with others. You will want it. I understand some people, you gain your energy from people. Other people, you gain your energy by being by yourself. Hey, that's okay. God created us all different. Perfect for His purpose. But you need to understand this. When I walk in close fellowship with God, there's that deep desire by the power of the Holy Spirit that's drawing me closer to other believers. That's it. Even when they hurt you, you'll still come back for more. Because I've had people in my own life, they have been hurt by the church. They've been hurt by a pastor. They've been hurt by church leaders. So therefore, they're like, you know what? The church, what? You throw the baby away with the water? How many times you've been hurt at the doctor's office, but you still go to the doctors, don't you? That's an excuse. Oh, people in the church are hypocrites. Believe me, I've been hurt in the church probably more than a lot of you. I've been hurt in the church. People reject you. People abuse you. Talking about me. You know how many times I feel rejected? I invest in people. I disciple them. I was just giving myself to them. And then guess what? They just cut me off. And I'm like, what have I done? I'm thinking, I just love you. And they just don't want anything to do with me. And I'm like, well, let's talk. Did I do anything? They don't want to talk. Well, how does that make me feel? I'm human. I feel the same thing you feel. You know how many times I want to give up? How many times I'm like, you know what? When I see them, I just want to ignore them because they did this to me, they did that to me. But what have I done? What have I done? I don't give in to those things. Why? I value my fellowship with Jesus a lot more. I value that. So therefore I'm like, all right, Lord, it hurts. It hurts, Lord. It hurts. I cry. I say, Jesus, I don't get it. You know, I talk to Kendra. I'm like, I want to give up. I'm just loving those people. What do I have to gain? What am I gaining? I can't get rich being a pastor. Believe me, there's not much money in it. I can be out there and be a plumber and make a killing. Seriously. Yeah. Because I think those things. And I believe that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to be blameless. He wants us to walk in close fellowship with Him. Because it's not gonna get any easier. Believe me, before Jesus comes back, things are not gonna get easier. Cling to Jesus. Cling to Him. Cling to Him. You're not going to church because so-and-so, pastor, you know, worship leader, do this, whatever. Please, don't give in to those thoughts. Cling to Jesus. Walk close to Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this is the message we heard from the beginning, from Jesus, and we declare to you God is light, and there is no darkness in Him. And I said, walking in fellowship, close fellowship with God, is walking in the light. So you walk in the light. You walk in light. God is light. Satan is darkness. So you do walk in light. And you know what light is? You know what darkness is. I will continue next week. I invite the worship team to come up. Because next week I'm going to touch. Walking in fellowship with God means you walk in agreement with God. What does that mean to walk in agreement with God? So many times in the church, we compromised. You know, I walk in partnership with God. What does God say about marriage? What does God say about me being a pastor? I'm not checking Google. I go in the Word. I've been on my knees. And I ask the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, what is it exactly for the season you want me to do? How do you want me to deal with this situation? So I want us to sing this song again, As the Deer. You know, if you need to come to the altar, I just want to create an atmosphere. We do have time, and then we're going to transition in the next room to fellowship with our physical food. But Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I thank you for calling us in deep fellowship with you, Lord. So I invite you, just give an answer to the word of the Lord today.